Okay, so a few nights back, so I was on my bed praying, just the Holy Spirit just very clearly asked me to share on the subject. And I want to put that right up front tonight. I believe what I'm going to speak on is, and I say I believe because I'm trusting and yielding myself and presenting myself to be used by God to bring forth whatever He wants to bring forth. At the same time, believing that He's prepared me for this. So, again, I share this because just to help you to be focus to hear what the Spirit is saying to us individually and corporately, as I've prayed already. I want to talk tonight on a doctrine that we've been well taught that is really critical for us to be able to battle and go forward and serve God and to defeat what the flesh would bring in to attack us with, and the enemy as well, if we can get a hold of the flesh, to work with the flesh. But the doctrine that I'm thinking of is the doctrine of confession, repentance, rebound, and recovery. And I'm going to now give you a correlations of scriptures. I hope you're a note taker, that I would encourage you to study, to meditate on, even memorize, and let the Holy Spirit use these passages to establish what's being said in your hearts as part of the divine frame of reference, so that you can, the Holy Spirit can bring it to the forefront of your mind when you need it. The correlating passages that I'll reference, I believe, trusting for what the Holy Spirit has witnessed to me, New Testament, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all iniquity and unrighteousness. And if you focus there and study on in chapter 2 of 1 John, you're going to hear the commentary and the counsel that Jesus Christ is our advocate. Jesus is our advocate if and when we do sin. Then the other passage that would correlate with this doctrine and is in found in Romans chapter 7 and Hebrews 12. In Romans 7, you have Paul, and Paul is going into the human dilemma of wrestling with a stronghold in his life. Now, he doesn't tell us what the stronghold is and what the sin is that he's dealing with, but I'm sure you're familiar with the passage. It's in Romans 7, he goes into the things that I don't want to do, I do. The things I do want to do, I don't. And he goes on to say he's wrestling in this dilemma, the human dilemma, of he finds that it's like it's a losing battle almost. And he comes to a conclusion that poses a question, who can save me for this wretched body of death? And he goes on to say and proclaim, thank God for Jesus Christ. And he also makes this statement and commentary there, and he says, he draws a conclusion and comes under the conviction that dealing with whatever it was that he was dealing with, that therefore it's no longer I that sin, but sin that dwells within me. Referencing the fact that he was dealing with his old sin nature. And then he goes on, if you follow from there, Romans 7 into Romans 8. Romans 8, he starts out with that, thank God, we are not under condemnation. Romans 8, 1 says, therefore there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through the law of the liberty of the Spirit of life, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, depending on the translation, exhorts us to consider the great cloud of witnesses that we're surrounded by, and to lay aside the besetting sin, the sin that does so easily beset us, and to go on and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And the what's being referenced in Hebrews 12 is the besetting sin, and Pastor has taught us beautifully in the past, it's the sin that gets triggered that is established as a stronghold in our natural old sin nature that can be triggered, and it like just drops on us like a cage and cages us in. And we're taught to lay it aside, the sin that does so easily beset us. Every one of us deal with areas in our makeup, thank God, that others don't know about. Unfortunately, for some, with some areas, the sin is something that becomes exposed and affects others. And but generally speaking, I'm speaking to those things that you thank God that nobody knows about it, and you're easily tripped up by it. The devil and people being used by the devil and the demons know what buttons to push. And if certain buttons are pushed, they know that it's going to cause a response in you, and you're going to have to know how to deal with it. Even in communion, this can take place. You can be in communion with the Holy Spirit and having an exchange with God. And I'm sure you'll amen this in your experience. And all of a sudden, a distractive thought will come in. And if you don't cast down that distractive thought right away, you find yourself like off focus from your communion with the Lord and running down a rabbit trail. And before long, if you don't catch it, that rabbit trail leads you to a point where you're operating in the flesh. And the whole purpose and the motivation and the strategy of the enemy is to accomplish that very thing, to distract you and take you away from your communion with the Lord. And so you need to be able to know Scripture so you know how to deal with these types of attacks. Now back to the correlation, and I'm just giving the outline again for note-taking study with this doctrine. A key passage in the Old Testament that goes with this is Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, you find a couple things that's said there. And one of them is that the Lord upholds a righteous man that falls. It says that in Psalm 37 that if a righteous man falls seven times in a day, behold, the Lord upholdeth him. UPHOLDETH, upholdeth, three syllables. And the idea there in the Hebrew, when you look, study the Hebrew that's translated into the English, it's saying if a righteous man, so speaking to you and I as believers, if he falls seven times in a day, the Lord upholdeth him. And the idea there is, and it's brought out when you study the Hebrew, that it's a fall that takes place where the free will is involved. In other words, the righteous man is exercising his free will. He may be falling prey to an initiation either from his flesh or the atmosphere or a combination of both. But the bottom line is he's chosen to allow himself to go there. And it says if he falls seven times in a day, the Lord upholdeth him. Okay? And so, and then the two more scriptures. Galatians 2:20, back to Paul in Romans 7 and 8 and his dilemma. Paul comes to this conclusion, and he goes to, if you study Galatians, he makes this statement. He says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives within me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the one Son of God who died and gave his life for me, Jesus Christ. And so all these scriptures that I'm giving you, again, study them, meditate them, help allow the Holy Spirit to help you, to allow him to teach you to correlate these scriptures so that when you need them, you can fight the battle that I'm referencing. And I'll add these scriptures as well. You'll find this at least twice in the Old Testament in reference to what Isaiah had to say. New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. I, even I, am he who for my name's sake have removed your transgressions from you and remember them no more. All this together is referencing and speaking to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Our redemption and what God has done for us. You know, as Pastor Moore, Sunday morning, I believe it was, you referenced Revelations 12:11 or 11:12, and the Holy Spirit did through you. And that was an answer to prayer for me, because I've often quoted that passage, and the passage goes like this: they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives unto their death. And I often reference that passage and loving not their own lives even unto death. I often correlated that in my mind with martyrdom, okay? But it wasn't until Sunday that the lights came on by the Spirit, in that it's speaking to our decision to walk in discipleship and to offer ourselves in Romans 12:1 as living sacrifices to God in discipleship and dying to ourselves and entering into discipleship and thereby allowing Jesus Christ through the Spirit to be manifest within us. And it's just beautiful the way it came together for me this past service. And I'm bringing it out again because this is what it's all about. Being equipped by the knowledge of the Word of God so that when things come against us, operating in our position of children who are disciples, we overcome the enemy through our testimony of what God has done for us and the testimony of his word as we learn of him and what he has done in the redemption plan. And through the appropriation of the blood of Christ, it empowers us to be able to become come through trials and through battles as victors and to prevail in whatever comes against us as we render ourselves as living sacrifices, trusting God. And there are those times when we don't understand what's going on, and the call of God would be for us to fall back on fundamental passages like Proverbs 3, 4, and chapter 3, 4, 5, and 6, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. To trust in the Lord with all our heart, to lean not on our own understanding, but to lift him up in all that we say and do. And the promise there is that if we do that, that he will order our steps and make straight our path. I was sharing with Mark on the way home from this afternoon study, one of the things that was defined a while back through the pulpit is in the ninefold fruits of the Holy Spirit that are focused on in Galatians chapter 5, one of them is temperance. And the word temperance is defined as we're walking in discipleship and the Holy Spirit is moving and working in us and fruit is being produced. Temperance is the idea that the fruit of the Spirit is in that the Holy Spirit comes in, and again back to Romans 7, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit comes in and comes alongside and joins with our human spirit in who we are in Christ, and helps us to make right decisions. You know, you find yourself at times trying to make a decision with choices that are before you. You go to God for wisdom, and you give an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, what the Spirit is leading, and you labor. You do everything that you're taught, and you pour out your spirit and your heart before God, and you intercede, and you pray with supplication and thanksgiving. All this we've been taught, but you still don't really know, and then it comes to the point where you step forward in faith and take action and make a decision. Maybe not really knowing it even at that point, trusting in God with all of your heart. But because you're a disciple and you're praying, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit, enables you to make a right decision. And you may come away from that decision second-guessing it, and then find out later on that it was absolutely the right decision to have been made. You may come away from it, and others may be looking at you and thinking you're crazy for making that decision and taking that step and going that direction. But wisdom is justified of her children. And it speaks of the wisdom of God working to us, in us, through us, to be able to make right decisions. So back to this doctrine and how to the reason for bringing it out to appropriate it properly. We read in Psalm 103 about how God deals with us. And God remembers, if you focus on this passage that we read, God deals with us in mercy and love. God deals with us. He remembers that we're but dust. He remembers that, and he actually has pity on us, if you will. But what he's done with sin is he's dealt with sin through his plan, the beautiful plan of redemption, the plan that the Father willed, the plan that Jesus Christ said yes to and carried out when he went to Calvary. And now the Holy Spirit bears witness to it, to our souls, our spirit, as we receive it. The Father willed it. Jesus Christ carried it out. The Holy Spirit bears witness to it. And it's the plan of the finished work, the plan of redemption, the plan of grace. The plan that's referenced in Psalm 85, verse 10, where the Word of God says that righteousness and peace have met each other. I'm just paraphrasing. Have met each other. And mercy rejoices against judgment. And righteousness and peace have met each other in the streets, and they've kissed each other. And now mercy and judgment, mercy rejoices against judgment. And it's speaking of the fact that God has dealt with the issue of sin through Jesus Christ. And through the appropriation of the blood, we are empowered to walk free of the wages of sin, which is death. We are empowered to walk free of the law of sin and death because of a law of the liberty of the Spirit of life that sets us free in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It is no longer, I preached a message years ago and it's stuck, and I just bring it out again with this commentary of the title. It's no longer a sin issue, it's a son issue. Our lives are now hid in Christ in Colossians chapter 3. Our lives have been taken and they're hid in Christ. And we're seated at the right hand of God. And when God the Father looks at us, he looks at us and he sees the blood of Christ. He doesn't see the sin. He's removed it from us forever. He remembers it no more. And because of that, when we sin, we can instantly confess it and receive the grace, the mercy of God, and repent and immediately rebound and recover. It's like in that process of rebound and recover, it's like taking a basketball and throwing it against the floor, and it hits the floor. The floor is the redemption plan of God, and that basketball comes right back in our hands. And we can then go forward offensively, carrying the ball that God has given us to carry, going for the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 3 that Paul spoke of. And being victors, coming out as winners, fighting the good fight of faith, overcoming the enemy through the knowledge of the appropriation of the Word of God. So back to the besetting sin, this is how it goes. you've got a stronghold, a weakness nobody knows about except you, and it might be plaguing you. And when it does, and if you make the mistake of allowing that projection and that initiation to take hold, the sin itself follows the track that's established in the brain. It's like a cow trail or a deer trail in the woods. You know, if you've been out in the woods, you come across these trails where they're beaten. The path, there's a path there that's beaten down because it's been run by so many times by so many deer. It's like that in our minds with besetting sins. And the right button press sends us down that trail. And we've traveled it hundreds of times, perhaps thousands. And it's between us and God. Or maybe it's an overt sin, and I'll try to practically illustrate this. Anger may be one of those besetting sins. And the right button push triggers anger response in the flesh. I got this from Dr. Jeremiah. That's a decision, by the way. It's a besetting sin, but it's a decision to follow it. Okay? So I'll illustrate it. I got this from Dr. Jeremiah years ago. A husband and wife are fighting. Okay? And they're fighting over something stupid that the husband did. And he didn't think much of it, but man, it set off a firestorm. And the wife is enraged, and the flesh starts attacking the flesh, and it's going back and forth, and it's starting to heighten, and, you know, the frying pan gets thrown. And thank God she misses. And she's enraged, and she thinks she's in righteous indignation. And she's yelling and screaming, and the phone rings. I mean, you just picture this, okay? And she's, yeah. Flying pans just let loose. Foaming at the mouth, if you will. And the phone rings. Ding, ring, ring. She stops, picks it up. Oh, hi. Okay. You see the switch? Yes, Aunt Martha, yes. Oh, yeah, wonderful day. Right. Okay. I'm trying to make a point. We have to decide what we're going to do. And the decision on our part is to go to the cross. Go to the cross and die. Preached a message that stuck with me and many at the time. I just mentioned husbands and wives. First one at the cross wins. If there is such a thing as winning in that situation. But back to the besetting sin, okay? You can be in communion with the Lord. And an initiation will come in and begin to sidetrack you and try to draw you away from that or be serving him or about to serve him. And that temptation for the besetting sin to come in will come in and maybe or just walking day by day and you're trying to follow the Holy Spirit, but you end up, you know, through dullness or whatever, and you find yourself being tripped up by that besetting sin, that thought pattern. Well, let's say you follow it, okay, and you find yourself going down that direction, and that sin comes in and cages you in, and you actually participate and take part in it. Now it's like, oh, I did it again. What do you do at that point? What can you do? Okay, what can you do? You go to the cross and you apply the scriptures that I've mentioned tonight. God says, turn to him. Remember the blood. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus paid the wages for sin, which is death, when he died on the cross. It's no longer a sin issue. It's a son issue. And there's nothing that you can do to recover and rebound except to believe God at his word and apply it. And if you learn to believe God at his word and apply it, you will be able to, you will grow to the point where that sin will start to become less and less and less in terms of its influence. And eventually, even if you fall prey to it of your own free will, maybe you get tired, you get off a little bit, and you just slide and let it happen. And then you're in a state of, oh no, I did it again. If you try to deal with it in a natural strength, one, you're going to beat yourself up. Two, the devil's going to come in and join to beat you up. And you'll find yourself wallowing in self-pity. And you'll find yourself coming under condemnation. And even the accuser of the brethren, along with the flesh, will join in. You may be a seasoned saint, 30 years walking in the Lord, and he'll point the finger and say, who do you think you are, super Christian? Spiritual? Look what you just did. What's your answer to that? You won't have one. And if you try to deal with it in the natural, you'll try to make up with it by, you can apologize to God. You can say you're sorry and shed a tear. That's not what God's looking for. What God's looking for is for you to believe him at his word and appropriate the word and instantly take hold of the word and let the word do the work to set you free. And by the way, this could apply, I've been teaching on healing. This is where this comes from. This will help you if you're dealing with an area of where you're in bondage or someone's in bondage and they're dealing with the chemical aspects of the wiles of the enemy, the methodia of the enemy, and he's gained a foothold and established a stronghold, and those lines and atoms in the brain have been established, and those trails are there as deep paths, and it's a combination of psychological and chemical and spiritual at this point. Through appropriating the message of the finished work of Jesus Christ and the grace message of God, you can begin to rebound and recover. And you can pick yourself up if it's seven times in a day and the Lord upholds you, and you can appropriate the grace of God, the mercy of God, and you can go forward. And what will happen is over time, those practices of the besetting sin will become less often, begin to diminish in terms of their influence and power, and eventually you will be set free from it and delivered and healed by the power of the appropriation of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of redemption, the knowledge of grace, the knowledge of mercy. And you can then go, and you can go to the throne of God. In Hebrews 4:16, the word of God says that, let us therefore now go forward and come boldly to the throne of grace. To obtain what? Mercy and grace to help us in a time of need. The first one is what? Mercy. Let us come bold. How can we come boldly? Not in any natural strength, not in any actual ability, not in any natural works program, because if you try to deal with it in the natural, that's what you'll end up finding yourself doing, trying to serve God, to please God, to increase his love for you. Look at good or bad, you can't change. We've been taught well. Let it be refreshed and established in your heart. You, no matter what you do, right or wrong, you can't change the height, the depth, the love, the width of God for us. God is love, and his love for us does not change regardless of what our practice is. He loves us unconditionally. He designed us. He loved us. He loved us so much that he became a man to redeem us from our fallen Adam. And that's the message of the grace and the mercy of God. Behold the mercy of God. Thank God for mercy. Mercy gives us what, or holds back from us what we deserve. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. The finished work, grace message of God. And thank God that Jesus completed it on the cross. It is a finished work. And he will set us free through the knowledge of the word and the appropriation of the word and doctrine and our understanding of it. He can set us free from anything. He can. I am not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of salvation, Romans 1:18. for all those that believe. And that power of God is able. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, and it's available to us through the knowledge of the Word as we access it, and it can set us free, heal us of anything, deliver us from any bondage, deliver us from heroin, deliver us from drugs, deliver us from alcohol, deliver us from sensuality that shouldn't be. Who? What? Jesus Christ and the finished work and the grace message. And so we can come and we can come and we can come boldly. And the Word exhorts us, humbly yet boldly come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help us in the time of need. And so when we find ourselves being tripped up and we take the snare that springs the trap, just remember, let the Holy Spirit bring these messages forward, what we're being taught, the finished work message of grace, and appropriate it and thank God for it, and then go forward and serve Him. You know what I do when I find myself, when I've been tripped up by the flesh and the devil takes a bite out of me or uses me to walk and operate in the flesh? I practice this. I confess it, and I believe God and His Word. And then I believe that the blood covers me, and I'm His servant, and because of His grace, I can go forward. This is my prayer and my practice. Father, use me to avenge disobedience through obedience. Use me to avenge disobedience through obedience. And then I look for opportunity for God to use me to go out and crush the enemy's head. Okay. And one of the ways that I love, and God does it, and I just, it's not me, it's by the grace of God, and soul winning. Yeah. Use me to crush the enemy's head. Or others, as we heard Sunday, reaching out to the needs of others and sharing with them the gospel of grace. This is a wonderful message, and we need to be refreshed in it. That we are what we are. Paul said it this way: I was the chiefest of sinners, but I am what I am by the grace of God. Charis, grace, the unconditional, unearned merit, favor, and love of God shed abroad to mankind and to those that will receive it. What a wonderful message that we have. The message of grace, the message of mercy, the message of love, the gospel, the good news. And we can appropriate it, and we can go forward and just prevail in the race and finish strong. Finish strong. It's probably time to close, and I think I'm done. But, yeah, praise God. Thank God. To finish strong. Father, I ask that You would just take these words, these thoughts, and through the power in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in John 14:21, establish them in our hearts, refresh them in our hearts, that we may embrace them and walk as winners. And Father, I know for someone that might be listening, the number one victory that God wants us to receive, the victory of the cross that saves our souls. So if you're listening on tape, perhaps you're here tonight. I can't see. I don't know really who's here. But if you never before have received Christ, would you pray with me and receive the gift that He offers, the gift of salvation? Just pray, dear Jesus, thank You for dying for me and redeeming my soul with Your blood that You shed on the cross as You offered Your life for me. Please receive me. Come into my heart and save me. Make me a child of God. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I pray for everyone here and listening who will listen to this tape, that they'll let Your Holy Spirit empower them with it. Through Christ we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well spoken. Good words. Nails you can hang your life on. Yeah. The finished work of Jesus Christ gives us the freedom, the ability to embrace the whole counsel of God fearlessly. The sin issues don't scare us. The warfare issues don't scare us because we're thoroughly furnished. And, you know, warfare is upon all believers. Now, those that don't understand it, those that don't know it, they're at a disadvantage. But those that know it and are trained in it, we have the advantage. You know, we can handle the incoming with a shield of faith, and we are ready to resist the devil and watch him flee. We get the pleasure of watching him turn tail and run. And so, I love the fact that we've been given a great heritage in the finished work gospel and the whole counsel of God. And it enables, and people are going into all the world. People are free. Those that are called, you know, get equipped and, you know, equipped to serve God right here. Most of us are called right here. But then every once in a while, someone's called out to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And they're ready. They're able to go. And so I'm just, thank you. Thank you for a good word. I heard someone say recently that mercy gets us out of jail. Actually, mercy gets us off death row and out of jail. But grace invites us to the palace to sit on the throne. And so I thought that was worth sharing. If you want to stick around, take 5 or 10 minutes for a break. But anyone that wants to stick around, after 10 minutes, we'll gather again here for time of questions and